Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is January 7th, 2019, Monday, first and foremost. And with me today, I have two awesome guests. First of all, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. How about you?
Pretty good.
Excellent. Also with me on this Monday morning program, even though it's not Monday morning there, Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. I already made it through Monday morning, guys.
Charlotte has survived. She's bringing us news from the future that we're all going to be okay. So, first of all, what I want to make sure and tell everybody is that we do have two people at CES. The Mac Geek Gab hosts, John Braun and Dave Hamilton, are both there. They are on the ground. They will have reports for us through the week, and you can keep an eye on that over at MacObserver.com. We do have a page specifically for our CES 2019 coverage. And if you see something that catches your eye that we should be talking about there, absolutely let us know. And one of the things that we want to talk about while we're on the subject of CES is the sponsors of our coverage. And our sponsors for the CES coverage that we have this year are Text Expander, Carbon Copy Cloner, and OWC. OWC, Other World Computing, over at MacSales.com. And you can find out more about that also on our CES page. And the first thing that we've seen out of CES at this point, the biggest thing so far, aside from Apple's billboard, which we will probably talk about later this week, is Samsung has made a really interesting Apple related announcement while as part of sort of CES proceedings. Charlotte, you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating one, actually, that I wrote up about this morning. My morning. So basically Sunday evening, Samsung said that they're going to have on 2019 Samsung smart TVs, mm-hmm. they're going to have a new iTunes movies and TV shows app. Mm-hmm. That's going to give people with these Samsung smart TVs access to their iTunes library, ability to buy and download stuff, 4K content, a lot of stuff going on there. Very interesting. That's going to be in 100 countries initially. It's coming kind of springtime. In addition to that, the same Samsung devices are going to be able to be accessed via AirPlay 2, which is also quite a big deal, I think. Eddie Q was very excited about it. Samsung seemed very excited about it. I think it's quite a big deal, actually. I think it's quite a big deal on a number of levels. Firstly, just because it's like one of the biggest tech companies and one combining with one of the biggest makers of TVs in the world, which sure. is big in itself. I think the fact that Apple and Samsung are playing nice is mm-hmm. quite significant.
Huge. Yes.
And I also think that the fact that Apple seems to be increasingly open to this idea of having its content and things that are associated mm-hmm. with it available on widgets it hasn't built.
Yes.
I think is really, really interesting.
I think the separating software from hardware is pretty interesting. And part of that is because you can now get Apple Music on Amazon hardware. So if you have an Echo Base right. or you have an Echo Dot or a thing like that, you can
Alexa
play Apple Music on that now, which is...
Alexa, play iTunes. Let's see who we get with that.
But part of what makes this interesting to me is that what this means for people who buy a new television this year. So mm-hmm. if you go buy a Samsung TV, and this may or may not be part of the purchasing decision, when you look at which sounds weird, but what the TV offers you, you know, as far as features. Yep. If you were to buy one of these televisions that has AirPlay built in, and will give you access to your entire iTunes library, then you don't need an Apple TV connected, a physical Apple TV connected to that television.
That appears to be correct, yes. And also, obviously, you've got AirPlay as well, so...
Right, because you would have access to your iTunes content, and then even, aside from iTunes content, if you just wanted to, say, bounce pictures up to the television, which has become, oddly, the number one use for AirPlay, probably at my house... is people say, I have pictures of this thing, you know, let's look at them, and then throwing them up on the television. One of the things that's interesting about that is that then that means if you have access to both of those things, which is what lots of people do, not a lot of people are doing that I know of. The people I know who have Apple TVs connected to their televisions aren't spending a lot of time in apps. You know, they're not using the California Aquarium Stingray app, which is the one that I like, which is a camera that shows you. it's a camera with stingrays on it, and you can watch stingrays, and it's pretty awesome.
If you didn't realize, Kelly is a nerd.
Yes. Yeah. Have you met Kelly? So if you have, like, not a lot of people are using apps from the App Store on the Apple TV. Like, of course, aside from pCalc, which goes without saying. But generally, people are using it for, let me put, you know, music through my sound system, or let me watch a movie that I rented on iTunes, you know, on my Apple TV. And in this case, like, that would, if you had an Apple TV connected now and you bought one of these new televisions, you could put that Apple TV on a different television that doesn't have this capability built in. And I do think what's interesting about this is not just the AirPlay content, but also the iTunes access, so that you can play all of that stuff through it already. And so if you do have your TV hooked up to a nice sound system, then you've got access to your music at least in an additional way than what you already had before. So, Andrew, does this sound interesting to you? Are you in the market for a new TV?
I am not, but I still think it's a great move by Apple. I mean, we all heard all of the financial stuff last week, mm-hmm. and Tim Cook keeps emphasizing services and how big it's growing.
Yeah,
I think this is a move straight out of that playbook, and I hope that we'll see more things and announcements like this.
Yeah, secretly, for people who have no idea, I run a home for the Crackpot Theory, and part of what I'm hoping is that this is a portion of what we saw when we got some rumblings about Apple TV becoming a stick instead of the little box.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that maybe that form factor is also coming, but I wonder if perhaps the kernel of that rumor was this sort of deal. Because the thing I always said was that Apple needs to make deals, and Apple doesn't need to make a television. They need to make a deal with someone who already does. And then, you know, just have like the right place set up on the back, you know, a little indentation where you stick your Apple TV to the back of the television and just let everything hook up and work naturally. And this is very similar to that, in that it does all the stuff the Apple TV does without having to have the box itself, the actual hardware.
I'm hoping for an Apple TV stick too. I think that might be cheaper than a TV box. And if that was the case, I would probably get that, hook that up to my TV, mm-hmm. and then just AirPlay my iPad or iPhone to it. Yeah.
But I wonder if this is a test run for that. I think that would be interesting. Charlotte?
No, I was going to say that actually, kind of more big picture, a long-term look at Apple, kind of philosophically, I think this is a really clear moment where we're in the Tim Cook era of Apple,
mm-hmm.
not the Steve Jobs era of Apple. Mm-hmm. Steve Jobs' Apple would spend another 5 years making the perfect, most beautiful TV ever.
That's probably true.
Tim Cook, Apple says, we can do services, we have great content, Samsung mm-hmm. makes good TVs, let's make this happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, content is just made me realize something, and that is, I wonder if part of that iTunes content is related to Apple Music, and that this is going to make it so that you don't need an Apple TV to see all of that stuff if Apple ever starts releasing all of the shows that they made all those deals for last year. That might make it possible for people to watch them here. And if you have this year's Samsung television, you don't need an Apple TV in order to watch that.
I'm sure that's absolutely right. We know the pressure that Apple is on with this original content that we've heard lots of rumors about.
Mm-hmm.
I've become quite obsessed following the rumors and the machinations of it. And I think they've got to get it in front of as many eyeballs as possible. And, you know, Samsung is one of the biggest TV makers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say, as well as 2019 TVs, Samsung are going to issue a firmware upgrade for 2018 TVs. So it's an even broader brush of people that are going to get it.
Yeah. And that, I feel like that's interesting in a new way, just in the fact that it's a software update that can make that possible. So
sure.
That's, again, that's interesting in its own way, but I really like the idea that that's a thing that they could be, that they could make possible. And if you do that with a software update, then, or a firmware update, you know, either way, like, you don't have to have new hardware in order to make that reality. That's a pretty interesting idea, in that it means if Apple makes deals with other TV makers, you know, they get in with Vizio or they get in with Panasonic or somebody, and can also do this same sort of thing and make a similar deal, then it's possible that just because you haven't bought a TV in the last month, you know, you may still be able to get access to this sort of setup. And that's pretty interesting. So, Charlotte, are you in the market for a new TV?
I'm not. I actually own a Samsung TV, which I'm a very big fan of. But I think I bought it in beginning of 2017. So I'm just going to miss out on the upgrade, sadly. I bought it when I bought my flat. And so I will miss out on this. But, you know, who knows if this works? Could we see older firmware being updated? Like you say, you know, at what point, mm-hmm. if it becomes a software update, you're going to want to get it to as many people as possible, I assume. I don't know the specifics of what make the 2018 and 2019 devices compatible to the device that I have.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting to know. I don't know that.
Well, we'll start campaigning now to get you the update so that you can do this
right,
too.
But, I mean, if you think about it, when you have a slightly older laptop, mm-hmm. or a phone, you can update the firmware, the software on it, mm-hmm. the operating system, and you get the latest features. So it seems increasingly odd that we couldn't do that with a smart TV. And this play from Samsung and Apple today is clearly the beginning of that, isn't it?
I hope so. And I'd like to see that happen in more areas, like with TVs. And, you know, occasionally you see that like CarPlay updates and things will happen, or Android. I don't remember what they call the Android version of CarPlay that does the cool thing when you plug it in your car. But occasionally you see updates that way. And I feel like there are definitely opportunities to make that experience, to make not just the update experience, but the experience of getting that stuff itself, you know, even before you have to go through the update, making those mm-hmm. things easier. And part of that happens as more things get connected and more things have opportunities to take advantage of a service like this. So I'm sort of hopeful. My house isn't in the market for a TV either. And so I don't think I'm going to get to see this. But the TVs at my house all have Apple TV or something like it hooked up to them, so that I don't have to... So that I do have access to everything if I want it on whatever screen I happen to be in front of.
I just think it's a really significant and interesting moment in the development of Apple and where it is going, clearly where it is going as a company. It was interesting. The minute we posted in our team Slack chat that there mm-hmm. was the link there and I said I'd written the story, the first thing Andrew said was services.
Yep. Exactly. What's interesting about this to me is that it almost seems like a move the old Apple would make, in that as far as like AV equipment, you know, talking about audio and video and, you know, people having things set up already. Right. In the olden days, when all Apple made was computers, Apple knew they weren't the only game in town. So if you had a Word document, you can open that document and text edit. Or if you had a Windows formatted disk, you could give it to your computer and your computer could read it, even though it was Windows formatted. Maybe it couldn't do a bunch of stuff with those files, right? But it was able to see what they were and recognize what they were, and in some cases, be able to do something with that file. And if you had a macOS formatted disk and you gave it to a Windows machine, the Windows machine had no idea what to do with it. And it's because I always thought it was because Windows never, like, Microsoft developers never had an understanding that it's possible they're not the only game in town. And Apple always developed everything that way, so that you could do a lot more on a Mac with files that came from a different operating system than you could on a Windows machine. And that was always the case. And this feels like that in a way, in that Apple understands, like, they don't make televisions and, you know, not even everybody's going to have an Apple TV connected. And this is a way to give people another in into that ecosystem, you know, like the watch. You know, like the watch becomes a really great accessory for people, you know, once they get an iPhone, or, you know, the iPod was another way to sort of reel people into Apple. And I think that, like Andrew said, with services, I think that splitting some of those services off and, you know, giving Apple Music access on an Echo base is a really great way to get more people to use Apple Music all the time. And, you know, giving people access to iTunes and giving people AirPlay built in to a television without having to buy additional hardware is just another form of that. So it's kind of nice to see that they've kind of figured that out in a slightly different arena, and that it's and I think it's going to be interesting. And what I really hope is that this is just the first in a series of announcements when it comes to televisions, because we've already seen they've made deals with Sonos, so you can get nice speakers that will play music from other hardware sources, including Apple. And I'm hoping that we just get more technology deals like this going forward. How about you, Andrew?
Actually, I have a question. So what kind of new features are supposed to be coming with AirPlay 2? I'm not really up on that current news and rumors about that.
Well, AirPlay 2 already exists. I think part of what it was supposed to do was make it easier to stream from more devices. I think it's just the protocol itself is what got the update. And part of what made it the big deal is that it was announced as part of the HomePod release. So HomePod was supposed to get AirPlay 2, and then it did through an update. So that's part of, I think, maybe where that came from. So it's a wireless protocol. And then it works with HomeKit to give you other things like groups of speakers and you know, playing to more than one thing at a time, stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
So it's part of iOS as of 11. I think AirPlay 2 came with iOS 11. And then it's part of Mojave, and I'm pretty sure it's part of High Sierra. So, you know, that little AirPlay icon in your menu bar, you can just use that way. So I think part of the update to tvOS, which is what Apple TV runs, is that you can use that as a source. So your Apple TV can AirPlay to other things, but also you can AirPlay other things to an Apple TV. And I think that was one of the big things that happened with part of AirPlay 2. And that way you can send stuff. So if you have, you know, in my case, I have my Apple TV set up with nice speakers connected. And so I can AirPlay to the Apple TV whatever I want to hear out of the big speakers. But I could also take something that my Apple TV is doing and AirPlay that to someplace else if I wanted to. And part of why that's a big deal is because AirPlay 2 is an open framework. It's an open API that people can use. So that's how Sonos was implementing it. And that's probably how Samsung is getting it on their TVs as well.
There's just one other bit of this announcement I think we should highlight as well, because I know we've got other cool stuff to talk about. But as part of this whole thing, you're going to be able to use an iPhone as a TV remote on one of these Samsung TVs as well.
That's interesting.
Yes. So you're going to be able to... The controls are going to appear on the lock screen in the control center on your phone. And it's going to be able to play, pause, fast forward, rewind, and even adjust the TV volume, which is also pretty interesting, I think.
Okay, I didn't think I was in the market for a new TV, but I might be in the market for a new TV.
There we go.
when we first set stuff up at my house, one of the things that we used was the Logitech app. And so I had like a previous iPhone that I used to run a lot of stuff for a while. Then we got a better remote, and now I don't have to use the old iPhone anymore. But that's an interesting idea in that respect. How integrated a Samsung television is with iOS, I find that interesting. a bunch of ways. So we will have to wait and see. Maybe my house will end up with a new TV. And if I do, I promise we will talk about it. In the meantime, we have sort of a follow-up that I would like to talk about. Mostly because this is a follow-up to something that we talked about last week on the show. And it was our first day back. Last week we talked about Project Erasmus, a really interesting demo using an Olaclip lens and ambient lighting and showing off this interface that he built that gives you a kind of an idea of what could be happening. And he's got a little more to report on that front. Right, Andrew?
He gave us an update where he has a new video on YouTube and he just shows off the project a little bit more. It's really insanely cool. I mean, this is like next level stuff to me.
Yeah, me too.
So first he shares this picture of a watch and, you know, he moves the phone around and you see the light and the reflections and the shadows move along with it.
Mm-hmm. And there's like the silver bezel around the outside edge of the watch. You know, like when you look at a watch and there's like that case around the outside. It was that.
Yeah.
And tilting. And it's an analog watch in the demo. And you can see the light, the reflection move around the outer edge of that watch face, which I think is really, really nifty.
Yeah. And another thing he shared was this mother of pearl image. It's, I would imagine that mother of pearl is a pretty intricate texture, and for him to do this and render it in real time with so much detail is just pretty amazing.
Yeah, and again, part of what makes this interesting to me, like we talked about last week, is not so much him showing it off, which is super cool, but it's what sort of possibilities this opens up for what people could be doing with AR and UI.
Yep. And he gives an example. He's browsing a website in Safari, and he makes one of the advertisements, a mock ad. Rendered it with this UI.
Uh-huh.
And so that's an interesting kind of nudge to users so that you know that this ad is interactive without having it be this flashy, obnoxious thing that interrupts your reading.
Right. And it doesn't have to make noise and it doesn't have to like block out the screen. But you definitely, when he scrolled through it, that was the thing that I noticed, was that as he was scrolling down the page and showing off this advertisement, it's an advertisement for, like, it had the Wizard of Oz. And so the centerpiece of the ad's image was the ruby slippers. And so you can see them like twinkle and reflect the light, and as he tilts and moves, you see the reflections, you know, moving accordingly on the screen as he tilts the phone back and forth. And so that's definitely far more attention getting for me, than because I'm not likely to ignore that the way I am the giant video that pops up, or I will direct you to your content in 8 seconds, or, you know, whatever kind of other stuff is happening that, you know, that tends to be advertising that I've sort of learned to block out or not pay attention to. And this was something that was very attention getting, which I thought was very, very cool.
I just came up with the new headline.
Yes.
Bob Burrow kills banner blindness.
He may have cured. Yes. This may be the cure for banner blindness. And it's because it's subtle and interesting the way that he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And, you know, what this could mean, and, you know, again, part of what makes this stand out is that, yes, he's using more lens than the phone comes with, but he's not using any additional processing power to do any of this. This is all computation that's happening in the phone. He's just handing the phone more information than it was getting in the first place with the camera that it shipped with. He's using an Olaclip lens in order to get a wider angle to give more information about the lighting in the room. And that's really it. And that has been fascinating to watch in action, mostly because of what it represents, but also like knowing that the phone is doing all of that work already.
Yeah. And at one part, I thought this was interesting. So if I understood this part right, it sounds like you can put a picture or other piece of content in a file wrapper with that code. And then if you, I'm assuming if you share it to another device that also can do this, mm-hmm. it will, those, the aspect of being looking like 3D will still be preserved.
Yeah, it sounds like this is the way to turn it into something that can be distributed to devices that have this capability.
Yeah.
And it's just a file wrapper.
Reminds me of Apple's AR file format that they created. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I think it's a lot like that. And I'm interested to see where this ends up, because I would like very much to see more innovation like this that people are coming up with, and then, you know, like I said, showing off the horsepower of what you can do with that is pretty exciting. So what do you think, Charlotte? Mm-hmm.
First of all, anything that makes advertising any less horrible, I'm fully in favor of.
Yes.
No, I'm actually being serious, because I can't begin to articulate how much I just like the new Facebook adverts that interrupt the middle of a video.
Mm-hmm.
I understand advertising. I'm generally pro-advertising, because it means it's a way of supporting excellent video and text and stuff we want to read and watch and listen to.
Yes.
Fine. But the best advertising is, one, interesting, and two, not an impediment to the content it is supporting. And anything, any technology that could help us do both things better, I'm fully in favor of.
Yeah.
I mean, the video is pretty outstanding. The two videos that we've seen and posted on TMO, the work he's doing is really fascinating, and it's really nice to see something kind of new and original and pushing the technology as far as it can go. And it's I've been really impressed with it, and I like the way, like you say, it's not something that's so unobtainable that, like, mm-hmm. you need some kind of supercomputer or some really super powerful software to make happen.
Yeah.
But it's a really, really effective result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope there's more to this, and I would like to see where, just like with the televisions, I'd like to see where this ends up and how it evolves. So as we do, I'm sure you will hear more about it here. And with that, we're going to go ahead and call it for today. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much. Happy CES week, people.
Yeah. And Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I've been your host, Kelly Gamott. This has been Daily Observations for January 7th, 2019. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.